happy to be here this morning, and I just want to say that people have been asking me and Roxanne how we doing, you know, with our new chapter in our life, and I'd say I think we're doing pretty good. We're enjoying ourselves, keeping busy, trying to spend a lot of time with our grandchildren and being real intentional about, like, being the voice in their head, so trying to plant good thoughts in their head like we tried to do with our kids. I don't know if it works, but do it anyway, you know. And yeah, I'm keeping plenty busy. I mean, I've got a lot on my plate. I'm thinking I need to retire from retiring or something like that because, wow. So I'm still leading the clinics. Our clinics are still open, and I'm leading those. And we're opening our other clinics first Wednesday of April. We'll be at, so we have the medical, the vision, the pregnancy, they're open. And then starting April, we're adding the bicycle clinic, the computer clinic, and the legal clinic. So they'll all be open. That's going to be great, sort of like getting back to, you know, the routine. But I'm leading that, and then I'm really excited about working. I'm working with the Reynoldsburg Police Department Chief Baker, who is a born-again, on-fire man of God, developing the police chaplaincy program, working with him to bring in some diversity, working with the black pastors in our city. I am so very excited about this, and we're ready to start launching it in April, start riding with the police officers. So do not speed in Reynoldsburg. When, you know, when we pull up, Pastor Dave might be looking at you like, hey! But pretty excited about that. Still leading the men's Zoom Bible studies. So we used to meet in Panera, but since the COVID thing, we started doing Zoom. And man, we've been doing that. I'm super enjoying it. I really like the Zoom Bible study. Guys are different parts of the country that can join up and different parts of the city. So leading that. And by the way, guys, if you're not part of a group and you like the idea of a Zoom Bible study discussion, we do it every Wednesday, 7 a.m. So let me know, and we'll tag you in. And it's really great. We're really, really enjoying that. And then still working with the Vineyard Association of Churches, working as an area leader, working with six different pastors and churches and stuff like that. So honestly, I need to retire, I think. I don't know. Wow. I said I'm not using that word retire. I'm pastor emeritus, but I just can't help myself. So, you know, enjoying my life right now, and just recovering from a knee replacement, which was traumatic for me. It's just, I think we've got about 10 people. Yeah, just curious, how many people in this church have had a knee replacement? I'm just, look at this. We got about six or seven. I think I counted one time. I think we got about eight or nine of us. I'm going to start like a knee replacement fellowship, you know. Yeah, the knee fellowship. I mean, wow. I'm telling you, it was rough. It was a little rough. And thank you for those of you that checked in on me and prayed for me. You have no idea how much that meant. It just, you just don't know what a person's going through when you say encouraging words. So I got to get the other one replaced. So I'm kind of putting that off. But I was out of church for like 7 weeks. And man, it was just so good to be back. And it's kind of exciting seeing some new faces here, people that I don't know that I'm getting to know, and new people coming to the church here. So welcome, and I can tell you, this is an awesome church. We got a great church here, man. I'm telling you, I'm so proud of this church, and really loving what Pastor Chip and Kim are doing. Really doing a great job. Just really, you know, just, yeah, awesome, man. I mean, what a time to come in for a transition. You had all last year with COVID and everything, but enjoying hearing them preach, and man, I'm watching what God's doing with us as a church, and you know, I'm really enjoying, so Pastor Chip's using the New Living Translation, and I'm really enjoying that translation. You know, it's just kind of, like, I've read the King James, the old King James for like 10 years, and then for like 30 years, I've read the New King James, and so I just got that in my head, but when I see the scriptures in the New Living Translation, it's kind of cool. It's like a breath of fresh air. It's like, oh, that's a cool way of looking at it. Really enjoying that. So, yeah. And, boy, speaking of fresh air, oh, is spring here? Man, so glad that ugly snow is gone. It was around for the whole month. Stinking white snow. But fresh air, spring's coming. And with spring, as Kim was sharing, the big holiday Easter is coming, right? 4 weeks. We have 4 weeks till Easter comes every year, and here at Vineyard, we make a big deal about Easter, and we should. It is the most important holiday of the year. It's the day we celebrate Jesus' resurrection, but here at the church, It is a special day for us. It is a really big deal. As Kim was sharing, we do our water baptisms on that day. We take a special offering. It's our biggest offering of the year, and we give the entire offering away, every penny, give it away to help the poor, do missions work, this kind of stuff, and it's really, really exciting. So we're looking forward to that. And Pastor Chip asked this morning if I'd take some time and just talk about water baptism and talk about the Easter offering, just kind of get you guys thinking this through here. But I'm pretty excited about this and trust that be a challenge and a blessing to you this morning. So, yeah, I want to talk about water baptism. And I'm thinking, if you are not baptized, I cannot think of a better day to ever get water baptized than Easter Sunday. I mean, come on, man. That's the day you want to get baptized. But, you know, I know in any kind of crowd like this, I'm talking to people, there's quite a few of you who have not been water baptized. And any time I run across that, I always get a bit concerned. I'm thinking, what's up with that? Like, you need to get baptized, water baptized. When we talk about baptism, we mean baptism. The word baptism means submerged. It means overwhelmed, totally covered. So when we talk about water baptism, we're not talking about sprinkling, like little babies get sprinkled, and that's fine. That's more of what we call a dedication. That's mom and dad dedicating the child. But the Bible talks about baptism. When the Bible talks about, it's talking about being dunked in water, being washed over. And people ask, you know, what's a good age for that? You know, there's not a clear break-off point, but we feel like in the church here that you should be into that over 12, 13 teen years. When you're coming of age and you're able to say, I know what I'm doing, you ought to make that decision. And I just want to give you four really, really important reasons why, if you are not baptized this morning, you really need to get baptized. I'm not suggesting it. I'm telling you, you need to get baptized, period. I'll give you four reasons. Reason number one, Jesus said you should be baptized. I mean, that ought to be enough. Stop right there. We're done. Right? He told the disciples, preach the gospel, and when people believe, baptize them. Those who believe and are baptized shall be saved. This is the command of Jesus. Please help me. How can you say, I am a follower of Jesus, but I don't do what he says? That's only in America. Yeah. Jesus is my Lord, but I don't listen to him. I'll think about it. Like people think they can do that with their bosses at work. You cannot do that with God, okay? He's the Lord. If he's the master, he said, believe and be baptized. The number one reason, obedience to Jesus. Number two, Jesus got baptized. My goodness, if Jesus got baptized, how is it you could sit there thinking, well, I'm just not ready, you know, I don't feel it. Jesus didn't need to be baptized. He said, I do this to fulfill all righteousness. He did it as an example. This was part of God's plan. Jesus got baptized. I'll give you a third reason. Third reason is when you read through the book of the Acts of the Apostles, right after the four Gospels, the book of the Acts of the Apostles, I challenge you, if you're struggling with water baptism, mark how many times you will see the early church puts major emphasis on water baptism. Like right off the bat, chapter 1 or 2, Pentecost, 3,000 people saved, they baptized them that day. Like they didn't have robes, you pull that off. They didn't even have a class. They just said, you're saved, get baptized. You go a few chapters later, you have a story of an Ethiopian eunuch, he gets saved, some guy's preaching to him, baptized right then and there. A few chapters later, you read a story about Paul the apostle and his friend, missionary work, they get beaten for preaching the gospel, they're thrown in jail. In jail, they're singing and worshiping God. It says around midnight, an angel comes and shakes the whole foundation, the jailer freaks out, drops to his knees, gets saved. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning. Paul and his missionary friend take him someplace and baptize him about 1 a.m. in the morning. Doesn't that tell you? I mean, do you have to be a theologian to figure this out? Like, do you need to know the Greek or the Hebrew? No. You see it all the way through scriptures. They placed a major emphasis on water baptism. So we should too. And then the fourth one is, it's found in the book of Romans, but water baptism is more than a symbolic event. It symbolizes the washing away of your sins, the beginning of a new life. It's symbolic, but it is a spiritual event. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, when you get baptized, something happens. You die to yourself. Something breaks off. And if you haven't been baptized, I'm thinking you're missing something. You're missing this spiritual event in your life. So if you're interested, as Kim mentioned, Saturday, March 20th, if you have questions, please sign up, man. Do this. This is going to be for your good. And my goodness, it makes for an awesome Easter service, and we love it, and it's just so fun. We get to participate and see it. It's a fantastic thing. So, yeah, there you go for water baptism. The other big one is the offering. So, so this is called a special offering, and I wanted to read to you a passage. I think many of you are familiar with it, but it's found in the book to the Corinthians. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and he was writing about a special offering to them. And so in 2 Corinthians, and it's found in chapter 9, going on down, he's talking about the special offering, but I just want to read this one verse here. It says, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." God loves a cheerful giver. I think I would just say, I think special offerings ought to be like that. They should be celebrations. You give out of the abundance of your heart. You give because you love God and you're just grateful for what He's done. And so this is what we're doing on Easter. We give out of the abundance of our heart. We give the entire offering. We give the tithes that are given. We give the sacrificial gifts that are given. We give the entire offering away, and we give it to different foreign missions. So, the thing about, I could tell you some of the coolest stories about how God has done things in Roxanne and my life as we went through special offerings over the last 40 years. I think special offerings are the best opportunity to enter into a cool adventure with God. This is different giving. This is not, like, see, my take on tithing, I think tithing is obedient giving. You give because the scriptures say you should give the first 10% to God. It's your way of, giving back and recognizing God's your provider. But special offerings, there's no guideline. You can give a dollar, you can give 50 bucks, you can give 1,000, 5,000, 10,000. And so it's this adventure where you just have to pray, and I want to encourage you, you got 4 weeks, be praying about this. God, what do you want? What do you want us to do? So many times we have given the special offerings, and I've personally recorded so many of these stories. I actually have a little booklet called Adventures with God that I wrote. You can get it on Amazon, but it's got like half a dozen or a dozen stories of just times where we gave because we felt, God wanted us to. And let me just tell you this, adventures, especially adventures with God, require risk. And risk is the best definition of faith that I ever heard. It's a risk. You feel impressed by God to do something, and quite often the first reaction is, nah, I can't do that. And then you keep praying, you realize, I think God's challenging me, and you have the opportunity to enter into that adventure. And so this is what special offerings are. And Paul's saying, don't give grudgingly. Give out of this adventure feeling like, this is going to be cool. This is going to be cool. I want to see God moving. Man, I've seen Him move over and over and over and over. It's fantastic. This will be our 31st year doing this. So since we started, our church has given over $1 million. $1 million. Listen. None of us can do that by ourselves. This is what's cool about being part of a church, being part of something bigger than yourself. You get to participate and go, I'm part of that, man. I'm part of that. And it's so cool. It is just so cool. And so this year, our board of directors they review it each year, which missions we're going to be working with. So they've chosen the three different missions. We'll be working with Vietnam again, doing the wheelchairs for $50. We'll be working on the Amazon. On the Amazon River, doing free water filters, really amazing stories there. And then we'll be doing Haiti, feeding the poor, the children, fantastic programs. And so just, be in prayer about that. And over the next couple of weeks, we'll just talk about it and kind of highlight some different parts of this mission just to kind of let you see what's going on. And so this morning, I want to take a few minutes and just highlight the Vietnam mission program. We've been doing this, I'm thinking 11 or 12 years so far. And just a few facts about Vietnam. This is stuff I think most of us don't even realize this. But Vietnam, first of all, is a communist oppressive country. Communist oppressive. Of the people in that country, less than 10% would say to you, I am a Christian. Less than 10%. Of those people, the majority of those people are Catholic, nominal, not like we would refer to born again, spirit-filled Christians. Most of those 10% are not born again. Less than 2% of that population would say with their mouth, I am born again. So that means between 90 and 95% of those people are lost. They would either say they're atheist or Buddhist or not, did nothing. And so think about this. The population of Vietnam, 100 million people. I think it's the 18th or 13th largest country in the world population-wise, although it's the size of California. So in Vietnam, you have these massive cities with millions of people jammed together. I mean, that picture, that is the way it is. The cities are packed with people, millions of people. And then you get right outside the city and it's poverty that you just can't even imagine, oppressive poverty. And they say it's a religious-free country. It is not. They persecute Christians. If you want a good job in Vietnam, which most of the good jobs are government-run, if you want a good job, you sign a document that says, I am not a Christian. You sign a document that says, listen to this, I heard Pastor Vu, the man we work with, tell me this. He said, you have to say, I do not have any Christian relatives, and I have not had any Christian relatives for 3 generations. Don't ever believe someone telling you that Vietnam has religious freedom. It's an oppressive country. And the need for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ is critical there. And so we're working with Pastor Vu. He's a pastor over there, grew up there, got stories of being persecuted. He uses these chairs and starts Bible studies. And from Bible studies, he starts churches. He started at least 10 churches and is continuing to build them. It's a tremendous, tremendous thing that's going on there. Just one last fact, and this is just kind of blow your mind. But in America, there are approximately 350,000 churches in America, about 350,000 churches. With the population of America, that works out to about 1 Christian church for every 1,000 people. That's why people jokingly say, what do they say about churches in America? Church on every corner. You know, there's a church everywhere, which I think is amazing because I know our country's going down the wrong path. But listen, we still have a Christian testimony to the world. There's 350,000 Christian churches in this country. In Vietnam, there is 1 church for every 100,000 people. Think about this. That would be our community, Reynoldsburg, Pataskala, and Pickerington, about 100,000 people. These 3 communities, if we were in Vietnam, there would be 1 church. 1. Right now, there's about 30 or 40 in Reynoldsburg, 30 or 40 in Pickerington, 20 or 30 in Pataskala. Lots of churches. So the need is great. And there's a need for the Christian witness, and there's a need to help the poor. The poverty, the need for the wheelchairs is astronomical, just phenomenal. The people are not cared for there by their government. So what I want to do this morning, just take a few minutes, and I want to interview my brother Henry. He's been going on these trips for years, and I just want to ask him a couple questions, throw some things out, get you guys thinking about this. But Henry, would you come on up here, and then I'll get this mic for you here. So first of all, if you've ever gone on the Vietnam trip, I know there's about 12 of us or so that have been on that. Just stand up for a minute. Any of you that have been on have been to Vietnam for the mission trip? Yeah, I see Linda in the back, Ivana, yeah, Stephen, yeah, I have Katie, Roxanne. Am I missing anybody? I know Michael Ruckdashel. There's Leslie Wells, the Eversoles. I mean, there's been a bunch. Hey, thank you for going on the trip. You know, really cool stuff. Really cool stuff. So let's start out. Henry, how many times have you done this?
9 times we got there. The last 2 was the ones we couldn't get to because of the coronavirus. So the 9, 10, 11 times were taken care of that.
11 years, and you've been there 9 years. Why do you keep going back?
It's the sometimes the miracles you see. The ones that I really get blown away by is some of the Red Cross people that we work with. After a couple of years, I remember one girl coming up to us saying, I want to know Christ. And so we took her to the side. We prayed over her. Vu was there. Pastor Vu was there. She accepted Christ. We had to explain to her, you are losing your job. And she says, I know that. I said, how are you going to handle that with your family? And she says, it's worth it.
Yeah.
We were shocked.
Yeah, we were shocked. Man. So wow.
You get stuff like that that happens. That's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, man. I've been there twice, and I'm telling you, it's amazing. It is amazing. Tell them a little bit. How does this distribution go? Like, what happens over there?
Yeah, so we send, except for this year, normally we would send money out there sometime in December, January. That would get the chairs going. But I need to tell you something about the chairs. We were paying $80 a chair from China. And I remember one time we were in a hotel. Vu has this guy who was doing, he ran a company that made metal objects and things like that. He came in and we said, listen, we're having a problem with the wheelchairs. Some of these homes they live in, the holes are so small with the door, they couldn't get the wheelchairs in. So we explained to him that we need something that would collapse like this. And we're trying to show him what we were wanting. So he came back and he said, I can do that. This is the chair he came up with. It collapses and goes right into the homes. And the first time we met him, they had to carry him in because he couldn't walk on either word. A young kid. He was under 30 or 31, something like that. And carried him in. And he said, I know exactly what it's like with a wheelchair that you can't use. So he came in, did that, showed us, came back with the design that just blew us away. This thing folds right up, very easy to put together. And then he said, I'll do it for 50. So 50. He just cut the price right down.
Yeah. Hold on, just a second. Let's just, so I was just thinking this morning, this has to be the only mission project you will ever hear of where you started at an amount and we went down. Think about
save
that, man. Every mission project, you start at 100 or 150, 200, and you say next year it's a little more, next year a little more. We did it like 5 years or 7 years at 80, and now it's 50. Wait a minute. Yeah. Sitting in this chair, Henry.
Yeah.
This is $50. This is 50 bucks. Look at this thing.
Yeah.
This is a 50 bucks.
We race them when we get a chance. But
yeah.
No, not too
often. All right.
So the other thing was, I remember it bothering them that we were buying these chairs from China to bring them into Vietnam.
Yeah.
And they would talk to us a little about it, but I didn't know how to do it until Vu got a hold of this guy. That changed everything. That was absolutely amazing. Cool things that happen on your sites, what they do is they'll package the trucks. The Red Cross usually will go down and help a lot of the pastors that Vu has. And they go down and drop all the chairs down at all the different locations that we're going to get to so that when we get there, we unpack all the boxes and then we put the chairs together. One cool time was, this is about Mike Ruckdashel. We were in this church. We couldn't get the bus long close enough because it was a lower area of Vietnam. So we get in this little church and Mike Ruckdashel's preaching. And at the end, he says, who wants to receive Christ? And that has to be interpreted. Every hand went up in the church. I said, Mike. Oh my gosh, you know. So now we had to pray over these people. So we only had, I don't know, 10 or 12 people. We're running around trying to pray over everybody, you know. And a little miracle happened when we're sitting there. There was a little accident outside on the dirt road. Someone got hit with a bike. They carry this kid in, his legs are bleeding, his arm is bleeding. They bring him to me. And I said, I don't know how to speak Vietnamese. I don't know, is there a doctor? And they said, fix it. The girls were saying, just fix it. I said, so I pull out this little thing. I said, I got 8 Band-Aids. Oh, no, I didn't. I had 4 Band-Aids and a little bit of ointment. And this is, you know, this thing's bleeding. So I opened it up. This has to be a miracle. I opened it up, and there's a 3x5 pad, 8 of them stacked inside the same pack I had in my pocket. So I'm pulling them out, and I'm shocked. And I remember them saying, well, what are you waiting for? Put them on. Help this kid out, you know. And for days, I kept thinking, oh, my gosh, how did this happen? I knew exactly what I put in that. So when you have stuff like that happen,
it's cool stuff.
You know,
man.
God's there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. All right, a couple quick more questions. So 2021, because of COVID, no one's going, but we're sending the money for the chairs. They're distributing them. What are plans for 2022 right now?
I keep asking Vu, can I still get in? He said, this year they said they would put you in the what was it, the Army barracks?
Yeah.
For 2 weeks. Yeah, it was not going to happen.
Not going to happen, yeah.
Yeah, so we're hoping, 22 would open. 21, you're getting their pastors down to help them. They have to be careful because they don't want to get sick and they don't want other people getting sick, right? So, but anyway, they got them, April will be when the chairs are all put together.
So they're going to distribute them this year. And then, so one last thing. So there's people sitting here and they're thinking, okay, well, there's no trip this year. But what would you say to anybody sitting here thinking, man, I don't know, I might like to go on that trip, maybe next year. What would you say?
Oh, I would say call me or talk to me. I'll be happy to tell you how we do it, which is what we did the last 2 years. And then Vu would call back and saying they're not going to let you in. So actually, it was one of them. I think I paid the visas coming in from Cambodia. They wouldn't give me the money back. The airplane, which was United, came back and said, we'll give you all your money back. So we keep trying. This year, Vu said, don't even do it. They're not even interested in having anybody come in. But you keep trying. You don't give up.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that the virus is going to get better.
It's going to get better.
And I think it's going to loosen up.
And we're sending a team next year. That's the plan. That's the plan. So if you want to go or you have questions, talk to this guy. He's sold out on this, man. He loves going there. So, Henry, thank you, man. I really appreciate you doing this, man. Good dude. So I went to Vietnam twice. I'm going to kind of wrap this up pretty quick here, but both times, just outstanding experiences. And I never really was one big on going on mission trips, but I always used to think, well, I'll just send the money, send somebody else. But I think there's something special about going on these trips, and it really was dramatic for me. I know I was trying to learn the Vietnamese language, and I just got so frustrated. The Vietnamese language is tonal. It's not phonetic. Like our language, you pronounce the letters. In their language, you make these noises inside your mouth and you form these sounds. And I kept trying to do it. And I just got so frustrated. And I remember thinking, I can't break this language barrier. And I just felt inhibited. But I knew in my heart, I was supposed to be there, want to make an impact, try to advance the kingdom of God. And I remember the pastor asking me, would I preach on one of the Sunday services? And we were supposed to go to one of his local churches that Sunday morning, and I'm thinking, I'm going to preach, you're going to have an interpreter. I just wish I could speak their language, wish I could get over this language barrier. Well, as it turns out, the religious police, believe it or not, they have religious police, decided they didn't want us to go to that church that morning, said, you just can't go. So we didn't get to do that, but we had our own little service among ourselves. But right during that time, I had like this encounter with God that really affected me, and it's a passage of scripture. I'm going to close with this, but if you have your Bibles, I want to read this to you. It's in Matthew 5. I'm telling you, this passage just jumped off the page at me and really, really affected me. So in Matthew chapter 5, this is part of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Some great stuff in this chapter. This is Jesus talking, but listen, this is the passage that jumped out at me. It's chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It was like, I had this encounter with God. I realized, oh man, I can break the language barrier by letting my light shine by good works. This is what he's saying. Not talking let your light shine with your mouth. He said with your good works. Let your light shine with your good works. You can speak a universal language that everyone understands. And it was like, oh my gosh, if you can learn other languages, that's awesome. No doubt about that. But I'm saying that doesn't hinder us from reaching people who don't speak our language. We've been talking about this with our clinics. We have these people coming from so many different countries to the clinics, and I'm telling everybody, listen, we love them in Jesus' name. We speak their language. It's a universal language that everybody understands, and I'm telling you, it made a major impact, and one of the highlights, a couple of the highlights of my life when I was on the mission trip, the one was Henry was talking about when we went to this island, the Phu Quoc Island. It took like an hour and a half on a boat to get there. I'm thinking, man, oh man, we're wasting all our time. We get there, we do this distribution. The Red Cross lady in charge, as we're putting the chairs together, she motions to the pastor and says, I want to get saved. And I see Pastor Vu, he's talking to her, and he comes over and talks to me and Larry, and he goes, this lady wants to get saved. And I said, awesome. He said, no, like right now in front of everybody. Stop what we're doing. She wants to get saved. And it was like, wow. She bowed her head and prayed. And like Henry said, they talked to her, said, you know, you're going to get in trouble. She said, I know, but I see Jesus here. By your good works, let your light shine. You can speak any language you want. My last one was on the same island as we're doing a distribution. You see the picture here. This Buddhist monk came up and we're giving him a chair. And I'm trying to talk to him, but I realized all I needed to tell him, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus died. And I had this experience. It's just hard to describe, but I felt like for the first time in my life, I looked right into his soul. I saw inside of him, and I saw this man hungry for God, and he started to cry. And I'm thinking, oh, this is awesome, man. I can speak any language I want. I'm bilingual. I'm trilingual. Oh, man. So let me just close with this. Listen, you can be bilingual. You can be trilingual. You can speak any language you want. By kind deeds, letting your light so shine that it affects people that glorify God. How cool is that? So listen, man, that is awesome. So let me just challenge you. So we have three missions. You know, one's 185, 190, and 50, and I did the math. I'm thinking, listen, you do the trifecta, that's 425, one of each. Double it up, that's 850, and throw in a few extra chairs, it's $1,000. Now listen. I know many of you here have never given $1,000, and I understand that. Giving, growing and giving is a process. You don't just wake up one morning, I'm going to give $5,000 or $10,000 or whatever. You have to grow. But listen to me. You have the greatest opportunity right now to do something so very cool with your giving. Anybody know what happened yesterday in Congress? What happened yesterday? Yeah, they passed the big bill, and I know many of you are going to be fretting and worrying about it and all that stuff. I don't worry about it. They can do that. But in that bill, what's going to happen? Other than countries in trouble, but you're going to get a check for $1,400, and your spouse you're getting $2,800. If you've never done this before, pray about this. This is your one great chance to give a huge check. Don't put that money in your budget. Give it, man. I'm telling you, man, it's so awesome. You're changing these people's lives. It's just astronomical. So anyway, let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for, I don't know, so many things. I thank you. Well, first of all, thank you that I could be here today, God. Whew. I think there was a while, about 2 months ago, I was thinking I was ruined. it's good to be alive, good to be healthy, good to be in church. Thank you for this church family. Thank you for what you're doing, God. Thank you that we could be a light in our community, in our country, and in other parts of the world, God. I pray that you would continue to guide us as a church. Bless Pastor Chip and Kim and the leadership and the staff. God, thank you. Thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.